I'm a wee bit groggy this morning, groggy every day, but yes, I was sitting up late last night, middle of the night, watching the Donald Trump-Hillary Clinton encounter. Both candidates again refused to shake hands at the beginning. Interrupted. They didn't shake hands at the end either. Interrupted, insulted each other throughout. Donald Trump even refused to say that he would accept the result if he lost in 3 weeks' time. The pair clashed on a range of issues, from gun control to abortion, foreign policy, and even Celebrity Apprentice. Mr. Trump repeated his claim that the election is rigged. He refused to comment, to commit to accepting the outcome.
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time. What I've seen is so bad. First of all, the media is so dishonest and so corrupt, and the pile-on is so amazing. It's so dishonest, and they've poisoned the minds of the voters. But unfortunately for them, I think the voters are seeing through it. Tell you one other thing. She shouldn't be allowed to run. She's guilty of a very, very serious crime. She should not be allowed to run. And just in that respect, I say it's rigged.
Mrs. Clinton was quick to hit back.
The FBI conducted a year-long investigation into my emails. They concluded there was no case. He said the FBI was rigged. He lost the Iowa caucus. He lost the Wisconsin primary. He said the Republican primary was rigged against him. Then Trump University gets sued for fraud and racketeering. He claims the court system and the federal judge is rigged against him. There was even a time when he didn't get an Emmy for his TV program 3 years in a row, and he started tweeting that the Emmys were rigged against
him. Should have gotten it.
This is a mindset. This is how Donald thinks. And it's funny, but it's also really troubling.
Claims of sexual misconduct against Donald Trump were also raised in the 90-minute debate, with the Republican candidate insisting it was all pure fiction.
Well, first of all, those stories have been largely debunked. Those people, I don't know those people. I have a feeling how they came. I believe it was her campaign that did it. I would say the only way, because those stories are all totally false. I have to say that. And I didn't even apologize to my wife, who's sitting right here, because I didn't do anything. I didn't know any of these women. I didn't see these women. These women, the woman on the plane, the woman, I think they want either fame or her campaign did it. And I think it's her campaign. They were all totally, it was all fiction. It was lies and it was fiction.
Mrs. Clinton said his reaction to the claims showed a lot about his character.
Donald thinks belittling women makes him bigger. He goes after their dignity, their self-worth. And I don't think there is a woman anywhere who doesn't know what that feels like. So we now know what Donald thinks and what he says and how he acts toward women. That's who Donald is. I think it's really up to all of us to demonstrate who we are and who our country is, and to stand up and be very clear about what we expect from our next president.
Nobody has more respect for women than I do. Nobody.
On the issue of fitness to serve as president of the United States, Donald Trump slammed Hillary Clinton's track record in office and her ability to get things done.
She's been doing this for 30 years. Why the hell didn't you do it over the last 15, 20 years? You were very much involved in every aspect of this country. Very much. And you do have experience. I say the one thing you have over me is experience, but it's bad experience because what you've done has turned out badly. The problem is you talk, but you don't get anything done, Hillary. You don't. If you become president, this country is going to be in some mess, believe me.
But Hillary Clinton was keen to point out her experience in decades of politics meant she was the only candidate fit to be president.
Back in the 1970s, I worked for the Children's Defense Fund, and I was taking on discrimination against African-American kids in schools. He was getting sued by the Justice Department for racial discrimination in his apartment buildings. In the 1980s, I was working to reform the schools in Arkansas. He was borrowing $14 million from his father to start his businesses. In the 1990s, I went to Beijing, and I said women's rights are human rights. He insulted a former Miss Universe, Alicia Machado, called her an eating machine. And on the day when I was in the Situation Room monitoring the raid that brought Osama bin Laden to justice, he was hosting the Celebrity Apprentice.
Now, it's all fascinating, this stuff. You know, does who become president of the United States, does that affect us here in Northern Ireland at all, actually? It's entertaining to watch. It's sad, according to some people, to watch, given the venom that there absolutely is in American politics. But does it affect us here? Alex Kane knows the landscape of Northern Ireland very well. Does it affect us, Alex?
Morning, Stephen. In one sense, no, it certainly doesn't affect us the way it would have affected us 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when American influence, particularly White House influence, was critically important. You'll know that the 1998 agreement and the ceasefires leading up to it, it was Clinton's personal involvement, handshakes, nods, winks, arrangements, getting visas sorted out. All of that played a hugely important part in settling the peace arrangement. I don't think Clinton, in the sense that if she won, yes, she obviously connected to her husband, paid many visits over here, helped the women's group, spoke to many community groups and so on, played a part there. But in the sense, are you saying, can whether Clinton or Trump make a difference in the sense of Northern Ireland, that they can damage the peace process or advance the peace process or do anything particularly different? I don't think so. But set against that, I think the relationship, the very special relationship between the United States and the United Kingdom, if Trump gets elected, I'm not saying he is crazy, I'm not saying, that he would do something mad, but that's a very special, very significant relationship we have between those two countries. And an American president who was regarded as off the reservation, if you like, could present problems for a United Kingdom Prime Minister.
Scott Lucas is Professor of American Politics at Birmingham University. Morning to you, Scott.
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. Bill Barnard, former Chair of Democrats Abroad UK, author of Dixiecrats and Democrats. Morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning. What did you make of it last night, Scott?
I hid under the covers for much of it. It was interesting because Trump actually started off not being quite as bad as the low bar he set in the first two debates. He wasn't quite as aggressive towards Hillary. He wasn't stalking around the stage. But he really undid himself, I think, whatever the issues are that came up, with that one sentence that said he will not accept the results of the election. I mean, whether you're Republican or Democrat, most Americans take great pride in democracy and they take great pride in the process. And by Trump effectively saying, even before a vote is counted, oh, it's all rigged against me, everyone's cheating me, so I'm going to call out an uprising when I lose on November 8th, I think that's going to cross the line. It's not necessarily for his bedrock supporters, for a lot of people who might have been undecided going into last night.
Bill?
I think Scott's absolutely right. The first 30 minutes, he tried to stay on the message, and he was making serious policy comments that would play well with his supporters, though not necessarily gain him any new supporters. But then it did just sort of crumble, and especially towards the end when he made that one statement. It was not the only statement, but I think you could feel almost palpably this past week, if you read newspapers from around the country and kept your finger on the pulse in the U.S., that the air was going out of the Trump campaign, particularly in the suburban areas surrounding the cities in the Rust Belt where he needs to gain support. And he furthered that last night by that one comment, which I think is devastating. You've never heard anything like that from a candidate for the presidency of the United States, that he might not accept the results. But there were other things, muttering under his breath, that nasty woman when Clinton pointed out that her Social Security taxes under her plan would go up, as his would, unless he figured out a way to get out from underpaying them. That did not sit well, I'm sure, with the American women, which he needs so badly to gain support from. And his closing statement, it was dark, dystopian, just as his speech at the convention had been. Hearst closing statement, they had not intended to make closing statements, but they did in the end. Her closing statement was optimistic, bringing people together, moving forward, and all the rest. You know, underlying almost every campaign is either the emotion of hope or fear. And last night, again, Donald Trump played fear, not to hope.
Well, the commentator Charlie Wolf joining us today as well. Morning to you, Charlie.
Yes, forgive me, I'm on a train that's just left, so it's going to be a bit noisy, but I'll do my best.
It is unprecedented, Charlie. It's undignified, is it not, for someone that is down to the final two to say, after the population has voted, I can't commit tonight to actually respecting that result. Grubby and dirty is that?
I don't think it's grubby or dirty. I mean, this is a country with a right of free speech, and we have had transitions peacefully over our history, and I think we will again. But there have been anomalies in this election, and quite frankly, in elections past, whether it's the way the press has acted in this election. For instance, members of the press have given 27 times over in donations that they give to the Clinton campaign, that they give to the Trump campaign.
Yeah, it's getting impossible to hear you, Charlie.
Let me
ask Alex Kane the same question. Alex, your interpretation of that. Imagine if it was Arlene Foster, Jeremy Corbyn, Theresa May, who stood up in an election and said, if the result, I might not respect that result.
Well, the interesting thing is, he will, if he wins, he will completely accept it and take it on board. This is wonderful victory for democracy and so on. I think it was very churlish. I think it was very stupid. And I think Hillary Clinton has, I wouldn't be a much of a supporter of Clinton or the Democrats in general, but I think she made a very good point. There is no point at this stage. Trump, as she said, all the way through complained that the GOP was rigged against him, the media was rigged against him, people were rigged against him, so everybody was rigged against him. He came through, he's the main candidate. Now, you cannot turn around and say to your main opponent, you shouldn't even be here. The system is so rigged that it's allowed you in. I think he may just be preparing.
Well, actually, his point, let's be fair to him, his point was that Hillary Clinton had illegally deleted 33,000 emails. Mrs. Clinton was very quick to point out last night that the FBI had investigated and there was no element of criminal wrongdoing proven. However, Alex, if an ordinary citizen in this country were to be subpoenaed, in other words, if they were to be told that the authorities of the state were conducting an investigation, and if that citizen then destroyed evidence, are you telling me that citizen would not be in court for that?
Oh, they would be, and I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. Getting rid of, I have difficulty enough once a month clearing my inbox to getting rid of maybe 40, 50 to 100 emails. Getting rid of 33,000 is enormously difficult and clearly shouldn't have been done, but was done deliberately. But a bigger point I just make on this statement, which I think is, what worried me as an outsider, as someone observing this from outside the United States, what worried me about those three debates and the whole campaign, it doesn't seem to me to have actually been a debate on America's role in the world. Yes, we heard about ISIS, we heard about Syria, we heard about Assad and Putin. We didn't actually hear how either of those candidates believes America. Is it to be the international policeman, the international bodyguard, the international moral custodian? What is its role? It seems to be almost like Trump and Clinton sum up an internal American battle. That's why they hate each other, their supporters each other. It's not simply one of the nastiest campaigns I've seen in my lifetime. I've watched about, maybe 15, 16 of these election campaigns. It just seems to me to be the first time that I can remember where the Americans themselves don't seem to know, or their leaders don't seem to know what their role is anymore.
I'm not sure. I mean, that's interesting that Alec points it out. But I do think that Clinton has tried to stake out the ground that pretty much Obama has staked out. I mean, she has said, for example, look, we remain committed to NATO. She's made very clearly that the U.S. is committed to free trade with both Europe and with Asia. And she has, set out a plan, some type of plan to deal with the Syrian crisis by calling for protected zones. The problem is that Alec is right, that those issues and the whole question of America's role in the world has just been overwhelmed by this almost Trumpian circus, because he has no, I wrote this one, he has no knowledge of the issues. He really has no knowledge of the foreign policy issues. And so that means this has been a big spectacle. And because the media didn't hold him to account early on, the fact that foreign policy should have been discussed in a very serious way went by the boards while we were talking about the latest controversial statement or scandal.
Bill?
There's one other thing to remember, that is that Americans, simply because of the huge continental expanse in our history of being separated from the world by two oceans throughout most of all of our history, we are a very parochial people. Mm-hmm. It is rare for foreign policy issues to play a major role, despite the role of the U.S. in world affairs. And that's a shame, perhaps, but it's nonetheless the reality. I would agree with Scott by and large. She has laid out a plan. It's basically a continuation of much of Obama's foreign policy.
I think Charlie,
with the exception of a no-fly zone in Syria, they differ on that one.
I think Charlie Wolf has got himself into a quiet zone in a station.
Yeah, briefly.
Charlie, that needed to be a game changer for Trump last night, because he really needed to do something quite radical and different to close the gap in the polls. Did he do that?
I'm not sure if he closed the gap, but neither did she.
She doesn't need to, because she's ahead.
Well, but I think people are seeing through Hillary. You were just talking about policy. And it's a shame policy never really got discussed, partially because of Trump, but also she was playing tactics. It was this constant psychoanalyzing, you know, Donald thinks this and Donald is that, and personal smears. And essentially it was trying to rile him up. And, you know, that's a disservice, not so much to him, but to the American people. I wish she would have just argued the points and stopped going, well, you know, I was in the bunker and I did this, and he was, you know, while I was in the bunker, he was hosting Celebrity Apprentice. Well, you know, if that's the standard, boy, you know, you host TV, I don't know what it says about you, you know? I mean, that's the sort of rhetorical trick she was playing.
That was the final...
And I wanted to hear a good debate on...
That was the final TV debate. Did that do American politics any good?
This is such a different election. I think it was the better of the three, thanks to Chris Wallace, who did a very good job of trying to keep it a whipsaw point and keeping it a bit under control. But this you can't judge this election by any standard, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
And also remember, they're now, you know, that was the starter's gun to the beginning of the end. You know,
okay.
That's 3 weeks ago.
All right. Charlie, thank you very much. Bill and Scott, thank you.